Thanks for joining us for another inspiring message from Pastor Derek Dunn, lead pastor of City Harvest Church, Orange County. To find out more about City Harvest or Pastor Derek, please visit chcus.org or derekdunn.org. You can also follow us on your favorite social media platform at chcus and Derek Dunn OC.
Well, we're going to get back into the Word. We're talking on the mindset game, the mind game. And so basically, as we're going through life, how we live our life and the decisions we make are a result of how we think. I got two grunts on that. Are you awake this morning? Amen. How we live our life, how we do relationship is a result on how we view women and our mindset concerning women as a man, our mindset concerning men as a woman, how we do family, it's our mindset concerning family, how we look at, you know, government, it has to do with our mindset. So everything we do has to do with our mindset. And that's why the Bible says that when we come to God, what do we need to do? Romans 12 verse 2 says, it says, don't be conformed to the pattern of this world. Someone say the pattern of the world. The pattern of the world is what? The world's way of thinking, the world's way of doing things. And sometimes we're just like, well, that's what everybody's doing. Come on, don't have a herd mentality. You're just following, well, this is what everybody's doing. It must be okay. That's ridiculous. If you're in school and everybody's doing stuff that's contrary to what God says, don't do it. Amen. You don't have to blend in the crowd. We need to, what does it mean that the fear of God, not the fear of men, that we want to honor God and we're concerned about what God thinks more than what man thinks. Yeah. Are you here? Yeah. And so we have to have that conviction and live our life by conviction. So it says, don't be conformed to the pattern of the world or the world system, the world's way of thinking. It says, but be transformed. So say transformed. Transformed. By the renewing of your mind. I didn't put this up, but the word transform means to be metamorphosed. It comes from like the picture of a caterpillar who's changing into a beautiful butterfly. It goes through metamorphosis. There's a process of transformation that happens. And just because you get saved, just because God touches your heart, doesn't mean your thinking changes. And how you think is determined by what you listen to, what you watch, and the conversations that you have. Be careful with the conversations you have. Be careful with what you're listening to. There's a lot of fear out there, and I get calls all the time. I'm in business, and they're calling me, oh, my gosh, it's the end of the world. The market's going to crash. The houses are, you know, I'm like, where are you hearing that? You know, there's a bubble. Says who? Go and find out from people who know what they're talking about, not just people who are trying to get headlines. Fear sells. And so people are selling. Go and get your information. Find out what's really going on. Get the statistics. Get the information. Be informed and be careful what you listen to. Don't be around people that are always negative, because guess what's going to happen? You're going to be negative. There's people, what happened? I can see in a church by who you sit with and who you go to lunch with, what's in your heart. Because birds of a feather flock together. I've been in ministry a long time, and you get one group, and they're complaining and always blaming. It's everybody else's fault. You know, it's the church's fault. It's my connect group leader's fault. It's everyone else's fault. And what do they hop from church to church and always find the disgruntled people, and they're always gossiping, complaining, and never have fruit in their life, never do anything in their life, and think they're self-proclaimed prophets that are hearing from God. Are you here? That's not the Bible. Are you here? Submit. To God's word, submit to what God has said. Come, can we find something difficult with something? You all look beautiful this morning, but I'm sure you have one hair out of place. But am I going to look at the hair that's out of place, or I'm going to look at the beauty that's there in the person? Come on, Gwen talked about church. We do life together. It's messy. I mean, I can sit here and prophesy and pull out everything in your life that you need to change and that God wants to work on right now. But that's not what God does. Prophecy is edification, exhortation, encouragement, helping. What's the point focusing on the problems? Let's focus on what we're doing right and reinforce the positive and encourage ourselves to overcome the negative. That's what Jesus did. The Pharisees were always looking. They were critical. But Jesus wasn't. Jesus looked at the heart of the person. And what did he do? He came and he loved them and he met them where they're at. And then he said, go and sin no more. He didn't look at the sin. He looked at the heart of the person. Are you here? So we've got to be transformed. So say transform. And how does it happen? You've got to renew your mind. And it says only when you've done that, then you'll be able to test and approve what is God's will. The good, the pleasing, and the perfect will of God. You want to know the will of God, you've got to know the Word of God. You've got to begin to have your mind renewed. And sometimes as Christians, you know, we're so good with super spiritualizing everything. Let me tell you something. If something's in the Bible, you don't need to pray. You don't need to fast. Are you here? If the Bible says go, go. Well, I'm praying whether I should go or not. Get up and go. You don't need to pray. Are you here? Can you imagine Jesus comes, come, take up your cross, follow me, and let me pray and fast and get 3 confirmations. Later. Jesus kept walking. God is moving. God is walking. But we get into our religiosity. We spiritualize things. We need 3 confirmations, 2 fleeces before we obey the simplicity of things. If it's in the Word of God, renew your mind to the Word of God. Well, I need to pray whether I should give. No, the Bible says give. You don't need to pray. The Bible says go. And I'm saying you have to go to Africa. God's called some of us there. We're supposed to go into Judea, Samaria, you know, the ends of Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. So start in Aliso Viejo. Start in Laguna Niguel. Start. You don't need to pray about the first step. Go. And as we go from there, then what? God will promote us. We get opportunities to do other things. And I love the nations and all of that. But we've got to obey the Word of God. Renew our mind and be transformed in the renewing of our mind. Because our mindset will hinder and cause the Word of God and the power of God to be of no effect. There's people and Christians that miss out on the blessing of God because of their wrong mindset. Yeah, Jesus came and wanted to do healing, but what happened? The people were here looking, well, I don't think healings are for today. Only the prophets healed, and you know, God's not doing them, or God's a judge, and God's trying to give people cancer to teach them something. Wow. And what happened? He could do no mighty miracles. He could do no healing. He prayed for a few headaches, and they got healed. So what did he do? He had to teach them. The Bible says he taught, and he began to take the Word of God, because as they begin to hear the Word of God, their mind, their thinking began to be renewed. And what happened? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. But if you have a critical spirit, you can't hear the Word of God. And there's some of us, there's an urgency for those watching online, those that are here. You need to get out of your stubbornness and your stiff-neckedness and thinking you know more than everyone else. And because in your life, you're not experiencing the blessing of God. And you want to blame other people, but until we start taking responsibility for our own life, for our own garden, we're not going to see a harvest. The whole nation of Israel missed out on the move of God because of the stubbornness of their heart, and they would not get out of steeped religion and tradition. And we're going around, we're trying to pacify, trying to put things in our box. God is not going to fit in your box. He's too big. God's not going to come down to your level of thinking. You got to come up to his level of thinking. His thoughts are higher. His ways are higher. But we've got, if we want the will of God, then we've got to change our mind. We've got to put in the work. Yes. Are you here? Yes. Godliness is being healthy spiritually. Yes. Godliness is having a healthy mind, a sound mind. It's what? Being healed and having strength in our emotion. And sometimes we look at things, if there's a problem and it's not working, somebody said, Pastor Derek, it's not working. The problem is never with God. Yes. The problem was with us. People get angry with God. They leave church. They backslide. I'm angry with God. The problem wasn't God. It was you. Yeah. Are you here? Yes. And I understand there's a season of some type of sowing. God's working in our character. God's working in our attitudes. God's working in our hearts. But if we're stubborn and we're stiff-necked, we will never enter into the kingdom of God. The Bible says the kingdom suffers violent. The violent take it by force. What does that mean? There's people are trying to get in. If you want to get in, you got to push to the front. You got to be fervent. You're just passive. Well, if God wants to do it, he'll do it. He'll never do it. Can he do it? Yes. But God looks for people of faith. Not everybody got healed. There was one man, when the water stirred, he jumped into the water. Are you here? Yes. He had faith to do it. He didn't get there, but Jesus came and healed one man and left. Wow. You think there weren't more people in the pool of Bethesda? No, but there was one man who had faith. There was one man. Jesus went across the sea to deliver one man. Wow. That had a legion. Wow. Are you here? So, you know, I don't know about you, but I want to be the one. Come on, if I'm not the one, I mean, if Pastor Troy gets it, I'm going to take the crumbs. Remember the woman that came and said, look, can I get the crumb? When someone else gets a prophecy, I'm like, ooh, I like that. I'm taking that one for me, Jesus. I receive that right now. You're not a respecter of persons. I'm taking that too. Are you here? And be a person who's open. Be a person who's persistent. David is dancing before the Lord, and the Ark of the Covenant's come on. He took off his crown. He's in his undergarments, all his robes. His servants are holding his robes, and he's dancing. And his wife stood and despised him. How glorious is the king today? That's religion. Oh, look at them. They're just too excited. You know, look at them. They shout, can't you just talk quietly? No, because you don't get it when I talk quietly. You go to sleep. And we want to look at all the methodology and the personality, and we sit back, and what happened? Michael, she never had children. She was barren. That's what happens when we're critical of the move of God. We're critical of what God's doing. We will have no fruit in our life. We've got to renew our mind. Say, I got to renew my mind. And then we'll know God's will. We'll experience his good. We'll experience his pleasing. We'll experience the perfect will of God in our life. Come on, that brings blessing and makes us glad. Amen. The joy of the Lord's our strength. Check your joy level. You got no joy. Wow. Never smile. Wow. Not happy. Yeah. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. Where's the kingdom in your life? Yeah. Change something. If God's going to do a check, righteousness, okay, blood of Jesus does that, you know. Where's the peace? Where's the joy? It comes from the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, the Holy Spirit's wild. Yes, sir. He's the all of the sudden. Hallelujah. Came out all of a sudden, wind and fire, and open your mouth, start speaking in tongues. Well, I'm not so sure about that. I better go fast and pray before I open my mouth and speak. What if it's demons? No. They were hungry. They're seeking God. When God comes, you recognize God, because in your mind, you're renewed. You don't know what it's going to look like. But you recognize the Spirit of God. Yeah. The Greek word for mind we've been learning is the word phronema. Someone say phronema. It means the way that our thinking is structured. Your mindset, your mental inclination, how you are inclined to think. Right. Education is great, but the problem with most educators is knowledge puffs up and makes us proud. Yeah. Right. Come on, I know some medical doctors that are great, and I know some medical doctors think they know everything about everything. Thank God for lawyers, but I know some lawyers that think they know everything about everything just because they know the law. They want to advise you on everything. I got real quiet here. You know, I know some people that have a lot of theology, and they've gone and they've studied. These were the scribes and the Pharisees, but they don't know God. Because we worship God in spirit and truth. It's an engaging of the heart. Our mind has to be renewed, because if not, we interpret our mind according to we interpret the word of God according to our humanistic thinking. You can make the word of God say anything you want to. You can. Jesus wept. Come on, let's just weep right now. I feel a weeping anointing. Come on, people do that all the time. But we need to read the Word of God through the lens of the Holy Spirit that makes the Word of God come alive and full of power. And it's not just interpreted to our culture and to our experience. It's interpreted to His kingdom. The word phronema is not what you think, but it's how you think. It's why you think in a certain way, or why you think the way you do. And many of us, we have some stinking thinking, myself included, and God's all worked on me in different areas, and I've had to change the way I think about certain things. We don't realize certain things. When I went to Asia and I went to the mission field, I realized a lot of my Western thinking concerning Christianity was Western culture and not kingdom. And I had to renew my mind to certain things. In the Eastern culture, there were certain things that were kingdom, because come on, how many know the Bible is an Eastern book? Jesus was Jewish. Come on, he wasn't British. He wasn't American, even though we think he is. The cult things were written through the lens of the thing, and I had to see that certain things in our culture are not kingdom. But I also could see certain things in the Asian culture weren't kingdom also. And with that, we can filter the word of God through our kingdom and the kingdom culture. We begin to see things the way God thinks. We begin to think the way God thinks, and we're able to filter out the things that are preferences, the things that are cultural. Are you here? You can worship God in jeans and a t-shirt. Come on, you're wearing one. I hope you think so. Amen. But you know, you can worship God in a three-piece suit. You can worship God in a collar. It's cultural. I don't know, but you know, I've been all over. I've been, you know, sometimes I have to wear a suit. We went to Brazil. We were, you know, laughing on Friday night. We had to wear suits every day and ties. And it's like 90 degrees. But the Holy Spirit still came. The meetings were good because I preached really fast because it was hot. Amen. But we need to filter our culture. He can come with a pipe organ. He can come with different. We need to filter our culture and look at the principles of the Word of God that bring the presence of God. Are you here? Many of us come. Sometimes we have a wrong phronema, and it's dangerous because it hinders God's Word and His will in our life. We've got to be transformed, and it happens through the renewing of the mind. It takes work. Someone say work.
Work.
It's not automatic. You got to put in work. How do you do? God told the children of Israel as they came out of Egypt. In Joshua 1:8, he said, meditate on the word of God. Mutter to yourself. Talk to yourself. Keep speaking it to yourself. Why? Because they had a slave mentality.
Yeah.
All they'd heard is, you're a slave. You're not good enough. I own you. Work for me. They had low self-esteem. They had a wrong mindset. And so they had to mutter themselves that we are able. God's going to give us the land. God, and begin to renew their mind that, come on, we're giant slayers. There might be giants in the land, but we're not. We might be grasshoppers, but come on. David slayed Goliath. If a little boy can take a slingshot and kill the giant that has the whole army in fear, come on, what's our excuse? And we get into faith. Keep renewing your mind. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, you're a giant slayer. The last 2 weeks, we've looked at some mindsets, and we talked about the orphan's mindset and the difference between a sonship mindset. And we got to get this, because why? Until you get sonship, everything else you will not receive. You come as a slave. You come with religiosity. You come with a works mentality. That's not how the kingdom operates. And we can have an orphan spirit. People are hopping from church to church, from place to place, looking for some bread, and never fitting. I don't belong. That's an orphan mindset. We got to renew that, our mind, that we're sons and daughters of God.
Yes.
Because what's the qualification of a son? They get an inheritance.
Yeah.
And so when you know you're a son, you know you have an inheritance. Are you here? Ephesians 1 verse 8, we looked last week that sonship qualifies us for our inheritance. The Bible says, Paul prayed that I pray that the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance to the saints. What are the riches of his glory to the inheritance of the saints? If you are a son of God, if you are a child of God, guess what? You got an inheritance that is yours. Come on, if you believe that, give the Lord a shout this morning. If not, we're always trying to work. We're always afraid. We're always striving. We're always in lack mentality because we don't understand we have an inheritance. If God is our Father, he wants us to have an inheritance. The biblical principle says this, if a father doesn't leave an inheritance for his children, they're worse than an infidel, the Bible says, worse than a heathen, someone who's outside of God. Why? Because in Christ, even in the Old Testament, they had an understanding that as we walk with God, God will prosper us. We're blessed in our coming. We're blessed in our going. But guess not, it's not for us. It's to build a generation. It's to build a legacy that come on our children, start on our shoulders, and then our grandchildren start on their shoulders, and we keep moving forward. God told Adam and Eve, he said, be fruitful and multiply, subdue the earth. You have power, authority, dominion over everything on this earth. But because of the fall, they lost that. But Jesus came to restore us to the Father. Why? So we could be sons and we can get back with the program. We can get back of walking in dominion. We can get back and being fruitful and multiply. If you're not being fruitful and multiplying, you're a contradiction to what God's will is for you. But if you can't believe it, if you can't see it, if you don't accept it, you're never going to experience it. And that's the problem with much of the church. You know, people come into church and they've never learned anything wrong. But let me tell you, some of us, we learned some wrong things in the church. I learned some wrong things when I grew up in the Baptist church. I learned some great things. They know how to get people saved, but I learned some wrong things. Are you here? But thank God that I've continued to grow, and on my journey of pursuing God, God brings us the teacher when we're ready.
Yes.
And we can learn, but if we're not ready, we think we know everything already. I mean, some people come into church, well, I know more than the pastor. I think I can do this. I go, well, why didn't God call you? Come on, you get your faith out and step up and try to do something. Oh, that's not my calling. Well, if you're so qualified, why aren't you doing it? Are you here? People get real quiet. Are you here? Don't, you know, some certain things, I've had some conversations and I tell people, hey, that's above your pay grade. Don't be having that conversation. You're not aware of what's going on. You know, don't be start talking about men of God and things that people don't, you don't even know and, you know, have ministries and you're trying to judge them. Judge their life and their fruit. Don't be doing that. You don't know that person. You're not in that. You're not even in that atmosphere. You don't even breathe the same air. And you want to sit back and be critical? Are you here? We've got to change our mind. We've got to change our way of relating and be sons and daughters of God, having our inheritance. And guess what? I don't need to fight for your inheritance because I got my own. I'm not in competition with you because I got my own. I don't need to be envious of you because I got my own. We looked at the prodigal son and his brother. What was the problem with the brother? He envied the prodigal son. He didn't know he was a son. He didn't know the inheritance that he had. Go back and hear the message. It's a powerful message. Come on, someone say, I have an inheritance. What are the riches of the glory of the inheritance of the saints? We need to be living with expectation, living with faith of our inheritance. This morning, I want to talk to you about the wrong mindset. Many times we have a lack mindset. And that stems from an orphan mindset. But God doesn't want us to have a lack mindset. He wants us to have a prosperity mindset. Because let me tell you, God is prosperous. God's not staying awake at night. He never sleeps, never slumbers, but he's not like worried at night about how to take care of the kingdom. I hope we don't run out of money. I hope we don't run out of electricity in heaven. I hope we don't run out of food. We're having this last supper of the Lamb and there's gonna be a lot of people. But hey, there's a recession. Are you here? God doesn't think like that. We got to understand that if our Father is like that, if our Father owns the cattle on a thousand hills, if the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and we're a son, we're a daughter, why are we stressed about money? Why are we stressed about future? Why are we stressed about inflation? I said last week, you know, when I was growing up, my gas in my car was 89 cents a gallon. Some of you weren't even alive when gas was that cheap. Come on. But now it's $5 something. Some places it's $6 something. But guess what? Can God still provide?
Yes, sir.
Are you here? A home back in the day, if you bought a home in the 80s, it was probably $50,000, $75,000 here, and it's worth $1 million now. Are you here? But what? If we have wealth and inheritance and we're basically having wealth and we're appreciating and doing things right, guess what? It's all perspective. Because now I'm not selling my house for $50,000, I'm selling it for $1 million. So gas went up, but so did my house. So do you understand the way things are always getting more expensive. Things are always getting, costly. Come on, when a cell phone first came out, it was a few hundred dollars. Now you can't get an iPhone. The new iPhone 14 came out. It's like $1,100. Are you here? I tell my kids, you better not bring that into your bathroom with you. Amen. Come on. Don't be dropping that thing where that's $1,000. Are you here? We've got to understand how God thinks about money. There's three basic truths about money, and I'm going to continue next week. Apostle Rolf's going to be here. Pastor Rolf is going to be here from Amsterdam. Don't miss it. We had a great time with him last year when he was here, and it's going to be a great service, and we're going to continue the following week. But three basic truths about money that every Christian needs to understand. Number one, being pure and holy doesn't mean you must be poor. Many people have taught that money is evil. That if you want to serve God, you can't be wealthy. You can't be prosperous. Historically, that's not even true. Get a passport and travel. Come on. Let me tell you, the temple in Jerusalem was amazing in the Old Testament. It was one of the wonders of the world. The Queen of Sheba came and stood in awe of the magnificence of it, the wealth that was there. You go through, and I've been to, throughout Europe, I've been to Greece, and we were there, and you look at the wealth of the church, the influence of church. You look at Rome. Come on, the church wasn't out on a hill somewhere in the boonies. It was in the center of the city. In the town where they would debate things, there was the church was all around there. Wealth was there. The church was prospering in the 16th century. The church came into an era. It was so prosperous. They had more money than they knew what to do with. And many of those cathedrals are still around today because God prospered his people. And they believed in their tithes and their offerings. And they prospered, and there was always food in the house of God. And we come up with this theology. It came in around the late 1800s, 1900s, that, oh, you have to be poor because if you have wealth, then you're worldly. But that's not in the Bible. That was never historically. Jesus never preached against having money. Some of you ain't saying amen because you've heard that wrong teaching. Many people hold on to the concept that Christians should be poor. We come up with sayings like, oh, poorer than a church mouse. Even the mouse don't get no crumbs in church. We say, oh, Christians, especially pastors and preachers, should not be rich, should not be prosperous. We come up with all these thinking. You know, let me tell you, pastors and preachers should be the wealthiest people.
Yes, sir. Come on.
Yeah. Why? Because we should be worrying about money so we can do the work of the ministry. Yes, sir. Are you here? If I'm worried about feeding my family, I ain't got time for your family. Are you here? John 10, verse 10, Jesus never said that. He said, I have come that they may have life, and they may have it more abundantly. He didn't say, I just come that you be blessed. He said, I come that you be super abundantly blessed. Yeah. What is abundance more than enough?
Yes.
What is abundance that there's more than just you need?
Yes.
People say, well, God shall supply all my needs. Come on, you need more than just your needs because your needs only take care of your house.
Yes.
And sometimes there's a time that God's just taking care of our needs and he's testing our heart, because it's true that money's a magnifier. If our heart is not right, money enables us to do the things we want to do. And some of us, there are some things in us that maybe we shouldn't be doing. So God's working in our heart. But if our heart is towards God, our mind is renewed, we have understanding of sonship and legacy. We have understanding of the kingdom. We have understanding of stewardship. God wants to bring money to us because he knows he can get money through us. That it's not all for us. And, you know, I was talking to someone after service last week, and they said this, said, oh, you know, I was telling my parents, I go to this church, and like, oh, is that a prosperity church? Be careful of the prosperity church. And I said, oh, wait a minute. So you want to go to a poverty church? You want to go to the lack church that preaches you need to be poor? Come on, let's have an altar call right now. Come, sell away your house, have nothing, and go to the third world and just live by faith and beg for rice every day and be holy. I mean, really, if that's what holiness is, let's really go for it.
Yes.
Come on, let's do it with all of our heart and all of our strength. Come on, sell everything, give everything away, go and live with the homeless people and share Jesus with them. Come on, how many of you want to come to the altar for that kind of altar call? Of course not. It goes against everything in our thinking and our mind. That's stupidity. So then what? Let's not be that extreme, but let's just have more than enough. Oh, all I need is just, I have a house, a car, more than enough for my family. How selfish is that?
Yeah.
I'm blessed, but I got no money to bless anyone else. My bills are paid, but I can't pay anyone else's bills. Come on, my family's all right, but I can't go on missions field because I don't have any extra. But I believe one day. And so this is what happened. It brings us into that extreme, or it brings us into the lukewarmness. God, Jesus said, in the kingdom, be hot or cold. Be either be poor or be rich.
Come on.
And riches is not bad. Money is not evil. I talk to Christians and like, oh, money is the root of all evil. No, the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. If you love Jesus, there's no problem with you having money because you're going to do what Jesus wants you to do. But if you don't have any money, you can't do what he wants you to do. Poverty is not having enough. We have a poverty line in America. We have a poverty line in the world. I mean, even if you live in America and you don't have a lot, you're more blessed than most people in the world.
Yeah.
I was talking to someone this week in business, and they have people working for them, and they have staff in the Philippines. They pay them $350 a month.
Wow.
I'm like, oh my, that's like highway robbery. He said, yeah, but their salaries are so low there. That's huge for them. Yeah. It's all perspective. Yeah. But people live on that. $350 for us don't even pay all your car payment. They don't even put gas in your car. It doesn't even pay your food bill. Yeah. Oh, come on. Yeah. It's all perspective. Yeah. Money is just a number. And we need to get out. What happened? When we hear certain numbers, our mind goes tweaked. Come on. When you were a kid, you saw $100 bills. You're like, $100? Oh, my. Now you look at $100, they don't even fill up your tank of gas. Are you here? It's all perspective. Jesus said, I came that you would have life and have it more abundantly. That would mean more abundance of life. And of course, it's not just talking about money, but money is the lowest blessing. How can you have the higher blessings? How can you do the things of the kingdom and serve people and help people if you don't even have your own needs met? If you're worried about money, you're sitting in church trying to worship. I love you. I surrender. Oh my gosh, rent's due. What am I going to do? You're stressed the whole worship. How are you going to enter into worship? Are you here? The Apostle John didn't say that either. In 3 John verse 2, he said, beloved, he's talking to Christians, I pray that you would prosper in all things, even as your soul prospers. Yeah. People start to say, well, it's about your soul prospering. How's your soul prospering if you got no money? Yeah. Come on, your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. Yeah. Come on, I met people that can't sleep at night because they're stressed about money. They're worried about their future, how they're going to put their kids through school, what's going to happen with their retirement. Come on, that's not prospering in your soul. Are you here? Yes, prosper in your walk with God in our spiritual life. Prosper in your family, and that's blessing. There's a lot of wealthy people out there that aren't prospering. They're not blessed in their soul. Are you here? It's not just about that. But come on, if we're really prospering in our relationship and as sons and daughters of God, we're prospering, we got joy and peace and the creative spirit of God in us. How difficult is it to prosper in the natural? Come on. Yeah. Because the spiritual affects the natural, not the natural, the spiritual. Yeah. Are you here? I'll say that again. The spiritual affects the natural. You pray and you get a hold of God, and what happens? You walk it out and it manifests in the natural. We bring heaven to earth. Yeah. We're not bringing earth to heaven. That's being spiritual. So if we're prospering in God, it should manifest in every area of our life. It should manifest in our marriage. It manifests with our kids. It should manifest in our relationship with our Connect group members. It should manifest in our business and in our career. Amen. The truth is poverty and holiness don't go together. Poverty and holiness don't go together. I mentioned about the Catholic Church, and there's some great Catholics out there. My dad's Catholic. He's a spiritual Catholic. But the doctrine that came in, that you take a vow of poverty, a vow of chastity, that's not in the Bible. The Bible says don't forbid anyone not to get married. Come on. Some of you have a Catholic background. Please still love me. I'm just quoting the scripture. The Bible says that we should prosper and be in hell. And let me tell you, you know, there's people, they don't have a salary, they have nothing, but the church has a lot. Yeah. Come on, I've been to Rome. Yeah. There's billions of dollars. They tried to put a price on the equity of the Catholic Church on the Vatican. They can't even define it. Yeah. Because the wealth is so amazing. So great. Where did that come from? Well, if we're just going to be poor, why don't we sell it all away? But the Vatican's collecting $1.5 million a day just from people touring the museum. It ain't free. Oh, I'm roasting some cows right now. Come on. Look at the car the Pope rides in. Look at his shoes. I went and saw all the Pope's garb, you know, they wore. Security put in glass things, got gold and rubies and diamonds all over. The wealth was extraordinary. Why? Because this doctrine was never a part of the church for thousands of years. The church knew they prospered in the city. They prospered everywhere they went. They came and they were people of influence. When Rome accepted Christianity, 50% of the population were already Christians. It was a political move. Because guess what? When I endorse Christianity, all these people are going to vote for me. Are you here? They were prospering. They were in the city. They were in places of influence. We got to change our mindset. The Bible says when we walk with Jesus in accordance to his character and his spirit, what will happen? He will freely give us all things. Someone say all things. Romans 8, verse 32, it says, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how much more shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Someone say, all things.
All things.
Look it up in the Greek. All means all. Is prosperity part of the all?
Yes.
Is money part of the all?
Yes.
But why do you want to not take what God has prepared for you? Why do you want to think you're not worthy? Why do you think it's going to defile you? Are you here? We need to stop believing the law and the wrong thinking, the lies. Bible tells us bodily exercise will profit a little while, but there's no external muscles. It doesn't have pertinence on eternity. But 1 Timothy 4 verse 8 says this, bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things. If you're godly, guess what? You're going to be profitable. That's a good word. What does it mean to be profitable? You're increasing in influence, increasing in wealth, profitable for all things, having promise what? In the life that now is. How many of you are alive here on planet Earth? That's the now life. And also that which is to come. People say, oh, well, don't store up treasures here where moth and rust. Yes, we're living with eternity in our heart. But the Bible's not saying don't have treasure here. Are you here? Don't have things here. Don't put it here. I mean, I'm blessed with many things, but if God told me to move tomorrow and, you know, I'd do it. God told me to sell my car and give it away to the building fund. I'll do it. Why? Because I'm a steward. I trust God. The things, I'm not storing up and putting my security in the things of this world. My security is in the things of God. My security is in eternity. But how much more than can God not bless me so I have enough to do what I'm called to do? That's part of godliness. If you're walking with God and walking right, prosperity, profitability in all things is your portion. Someone say, God's called me, to be profitable in all things. Everything that we would ever need in this world comes to us if we live a godly life. I put this up for you. Godliness and abundance do go hand in hand together. Anyone in the Bible who was godly, who walked with God, prospered. You can't find one person in the Bible that didn't prosper. Come on. Well, Jesus, foxes have holes and birds have a nest, but Jesus had nowhere to lay his head. No, Jesus had places to sleep. He still went back to Jerusalem. He had a mom and a dad and a house. What is he saying? He was out. He wasn't building his house and trying to build for here because he knew he was living in eternity. But that didn't mean Jesus didn't have a place to sleep. Come on. Jesus was prosperous. Yeah. Something that blows our religiosity. How could you go tell somebody, hey, Daniel, go and buy food for 5,000 people? Daniel didn't say, Jesus, we got no money. He said, where can we find that much food? The problem was not money. Well, Jesus, you know, he was just very simple. Jesus, when he was going to the cross, they took his robe and folded it up and gambled over it because it was so, it was purple. It was such a high class of quality. They didn't want to tear it up. If he was just wearing a beggar's rag, they would have thrown it away. They gambled over it because they didn't want to cut it up because it was so valuable in one piece. Where did he get that? People prospered him. Are you here? What about this one? Jesus didn't ride in a used car. He rose on a new one. He said, go find me a new donkey that's never been ridden on. Are you here? We get all this thinking. Come on, that's not true. It takes money to travel. It takes money to have a crusade. Why do you need a treasurer if you got no money? Right. Some of you don't have an accountant because you don't need one. Come on, I got businesses, and guess what? I hire CPAs, and I pay money. They get a lot of money because they know how to manage the money. They know how to do all my taxes and everything and make sure I'm above board and what I do, and I pay them money. But if I got no income, I don't need a CPA. I file a simple return and hope I get money back at the end of the year. You don't need to worry about filing because you're getting a little bit back because you don't even qualify to pay taxes. Oh, come on. Can we get with reality? Why would you have a treasure? What was the problem with Judas? He looked at the money. The money. You know, like Gollum, look at the precious. He had the love of money was wrong, but Jesus still let him hold the money. You don't need a money bag and a treasurer if you don't have money. Come on, we need to get rid of this crazy thinking. Look at the church. The church has been full of life, full of power, prosperous, mission, world missions all over the world. The church has built schools, they built churches, they built orphanages. It costs money to do that. If we don't have money, how are we going to do the kingdom? It costs money to broadcast this morning. They just raised our internet bill just to have the broadband to broadcast is $1,000 a month. I'm like, that's ridiculous, but what are you going to do? We got to get the word out. Come on, there's only one network that services our office park. What are we going to do?
That's too much.
So we're not going to put the word out? No, God will provide. We need to have the resources. Are you here? You need to prosper.
Yes.
We're renting a building. But guess what? We're going to buy one. And how are we going to buy one? Because God says as you prosper, you bring your tithes and your offerings, that there's food in the house of God. There's no lack in the house of God. And God says he'll open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that you don't have room to contain. How are we going to buy and be owners if we have no money? Oh, we're just poor. We're just, you know, we're happy renting. We're paying someone else's mortgage. We could, our mortgage would be less than what we pay for rent. Are you here? That don't even make proper sense. We got to renew our minds. Say, I got to renew my mind. Being pure and holy does not mean you must be poor. Number two, we need to understand God has no problem with wealth and abundance. I'll say it again. God has no problem with wealth and abundance. In Genesis 1 verse 31, when God created the whole universe, what does it say? God saw everything. Don't say everything. That he'd made. And indeed, it was very good. So in the evening and the morning, there were the sixth day. What happened? God saw everything that he created. He created it out of his nature. He created it out of his personality. Are you here? God's a creative God. The first time he introduced himself was as Elohim, as being the creator. But what did he create? God allowed Adam to enjoy all the wealth and the abundance of the garden because he was a son. Are you here? But what did God make? He made gold, he made silver, he made diamonds, he made precious stones with great abundance. Amen. Why? God's very wealthy.
Yeah.
God likes nice things. The train of God's robe fills the whole temple. Why does he need such a big train? Because he likes it. The streets of gold of heaven are paved with gold. The throne of God is a whole piece of sapphire stone, the Bible says. The heavenly elders have golden crowns. Are you here? The angels have golden belts around them, the Bible says. John on the island of Patmos, he saw Jesus wearing a vest and a crown of gold. It wasn't thorns. Are you here? That's what the curse brings upon us. He exchanged his crown of thorns for a crown of gold. At the finished work of Christ on the cross. The rulers used in heaven is made of gold. Again, the streets are made of gold. Gold, 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 diamonds, sapphire, precious things. He didn't make it out of wood. He didn't make it out of that which is cheap. He made it out of that which is precious. Are you here? There's abundance in heaven. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house, there are many shacks. What did he say? There are many mansions. What do you need a mansion for? Oh, we just have enough. We don't need such a nice house. Just as long as I have a bed to sleep in and a floor, I'm fine. No, God is a God of abundance. Now, if that's what you want, that's what you like, that's fine. But we got to change our thinking. Some people are going to get a culture shock when they get to heaven. For the first millennium, they're going to be like, oh my gosh, I missed it. God is huge. God is abundant. Are you here? We got to understand God has no wealth with abundance. Isaiah 5:20 says that it warns us of for those that call evil good and good evil. That's what religion does. It says what God said is good. God created the earth and he said it is good. Was he talking about the gold?
Yes.
Was he talking about the diamonds?
Yes.
Was he talking about the beautiful views that he made?
Yes.
It was good. So why do we call it evil?
Come on.
There's many well-meaning Christians that say that prosperity is evil, but they hold on to the erroneous teaching. And indirectly, what are they saying? They're saying God is evil then. Because you call what God said it was good, you call it evil.
Wow.
If abundance is evil, God has abundance. Heaven's filled with abundance.
Yeah. Wow.
God's blessed his church. He's blessed people with abundance. And you're saying that's evil. You're contradicting God and who he is. Are you here?
Yes.
So we need to understand that God, being pure and holy, doesn't mean we must be poor. That God has no problem with wealth and abundance. And number three, that God delights in seeing his children prosper. Can you imagine I tell Erica, I just want you to just survive. You know, you don't need new clothes. You only have a few holes in your jeans. You know, she didn't buy them that way, but they're worn out. You know, now we like holes. You know, don't get an education. You know, university's really expensive. Just do online courses. You can save a lot of money. You know, don't try to get a job that pays six figures or just get a job that just, you know, you just can survive and have enough so you don't want to be defiled. She'll run away from home.
Yeah.
What parent looks like that if their kid? We want our kids to be more prosperous than us. We want them to be more successful than us. We help them so they can do great and have a future that's better than ours. I mean, my kids have it good compared to when I grew up, compared to Susan grew up. We live differently, but guess what? I believe my grandchildren will have it even better. I believe my great-grandchildren will have it even better. Because what are we doing? We're leaving an inheritance.
Yeah.
We're managing what God's given us so our kids don't have to worry about us. I want my kids supporting me when I get old.
Yeah.
Are you here?
Right.
We're going to be self-support. We create legacy. That's what Susan does. Create wealth. But if we have this mindset, what will happen? No wonder from generation to generation, we're still living under the curse of sin and death, of just having enough, of having to work by the sweat of our brow and not coming back to abundance. But Jesus died on the cross. He rose. He broke the curse of sin and death to restore us back to the place of sons and daughters, that we could begin to walk in the prosperity, that we could begin to have dominion. We can be fruitful and multiply. And we call that evil when God calls it good. Oh, my. God has no problem for his children prospering. If we're believing, if we're obedient children, he said, if you're willing and obedient, you eat the good of the land. And I'm not talking about excess. I'm not talking about materialism here. I'm talking about having more than enough for your needs and to do what God's called you to do and to bless people and to further the kingdom of God. It's not about having more cars and more houses and all of that. And sometimes Christians get distracted with that because the word wasn't preached right. People's hearts aren't right. But come on, we're a church. Our heart is for the kingdom. We want to see revival. We want to see reformation. We're going to plant. This won't be our only church. We got to plant more churches. We got to raise up more people. Come on, that costs money to train, to get facilities, to do things. The prophet Michelle came. Prophet, you're going to have studios. Not a studio, a studios. A studio is expensive, but studios is even more expensive. You're going to have more campuses. You're going to have people coming from the nations. Come on, that costs money. If we don't change our thinking, we're going to miss out on the move of God because prophecy is conditional. Where's the money coming from to do it? Well, an angel's just going to come and drop a check from heaven. That doesn't work that way. Where's the money going to come from? Turn your neighbor and say, it's going to come from you. Because God wants you to prosper.
Amen.
If you're not prospering, how can the house of God prosper?
Amen.
Psalms 35, verse 27. You learning something?
Yes.
The Bible says, let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause. Come on, that should be you right now. You should be shouting.
Yes.
Let them shout for joy and be glad. If you favor his righteous cause, if you love God, if you want to see his kingdom come and your will be done, you should be getting excited because of the second part of the verse. And let them say continually. What does continually mean? All the time. Not just one time. Not just one breakthrough. All the time. God is good. All the time. It says, and they say continually, let the Lord be magnified, who takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Are you a servant of God? Are you a child of God? You should shout for joy and be glad, because God is looking for ways to prosper you. But we're not. We're sad. We're broke. We're complaining. Oh, I'm just, God's dealing with me. God ain't dealing with you. You need to change your thinking. God does deal with people, but not for years. Well, God's just dealing with me. Well, why are you being so stubborn? Come on, let him deal with you quickly. When God deals with me, I say, I don't like pain. I don't like suffering. When something's not going, God's like, well, you need to work on that. I'm like, okay, today we're starting to work on this. How we doing, Jesus? Have I passed the test? Let's move on. I don't want to waste my time in the wilderness. We got to change. Let them shout for joy and be glad, because God takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Come on, this is all through the Bible. Religion, oh, don't get so excited. Be quiet, be serious, be poor. That's not the kingdom. In the kingdom, there's a lot of shouting going on. There's joy. There's dancing. Come on, look at the Jewish culture. They always having a party. There's more feasts than you can count. There's always, we just finished a feast, and now I'm in another feast, and their feast isn't one day, it goes on for days. Why, that's the culture, celebrating God, because we are blessed and not coming. We serve a God that is a good God. I once was under sin and under the curse of lack, but come on, he set me free. He raised me to sit up in the heavenly places far above, principalities, powers, rule of darkness. I got the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Come on, I can be a wealth creator. I can walk in abundance. I can serve God in my generation. Let's look at some servants of God that served him and prospered abundantly. Abraham. Yeah. Genesis 13, verse 2. The Bible says Abraham was very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold. He wasn't just rich, he was very rich. Look up the word very. It means abundantly. He was abundantly rich. Come on, he had so much wealth. His nephew, Lot, he had to say, we got to separate, because I'm too blessed, you're too blessed, and there's not enough grass for our livestock. Yeah, so you choose. And he wasn't even greedy. You choose. Lot chose the better land. Abraham didn't care, because I got a blessing. Anywhere I go, I ain't in competition with you, because anywhere I go, I got a covenant. I'm going to prosper wherever I go, because there's something on me. I'm a son of God. What about Isaac? Genesis 26, verse 12, that year Isaac sowed in the land of recession. Come on. He reaped in the same year 100-fold. Wow. Come on, tell your neighbor, say, I ain't having no recession. What I mean by that, that means that you go down in your blessing. Yeah. Is there inflation? Yeah, that means what? You need to prosper more. Yeah. When you prosper more, you don't care how much stuff costs. Come on, thank God I prospered more than I was working at a movie theater paying 89 cents a gallon. Are you here? We've got to change our thinking. It says, and the Lord blessed him, and the man began to prosper and continued prospering, and he became very prosperous. He prospered, he continued prospering, and he became very prosperous. Come on to your neighbor, tell your neighbor, say, that's you. In 1 Chronicles 22, verse 14, what about David? The Bible says this, in the Living Bible, it talks about David's personal treasury. It says, by hard work, David says, I have collected. Now, this is from his personal finances. A shepherd boy who was despised by his family, the least among the sons. When they called him and said, do you have any sons? They didn't even call him out. Wow. Theologians believe he's probably an illegitimate son that was born out of wedlock. We don't know for sure. But he wasn't on the radar. But now, walks with God, serves God, went through difficult times. It says, I have collected personally several billion dollars worth of gold, bullion, millions in silver, and so much iron and bronze that I haven't even weighed it. And I've also gathered timber and stone for the walls. This is at least the beginning. This is at least something which I'm going to start to give to God. And that was out of his abundance. Are you here?
Yeah.
God took a small boy. What's our excuse? Who's been trying to throw javelins at you and kill you lately? How long you been? What cave are you living in? Are you here? He prospered with things, and God wants to bring us blessing. Ecclesiastes 5 verse 9, the Bible says, as for every man, someone says that means me. Are you a human being?
Yes.
It says every human being, come on, every man, to whom God has given. Who's given?
God.
What is he given? Riches and wealth. And he's given him power to eat of it.
Yeah.
It's okay to eat of the blessing. To receive his heritage and rejoice in his labor. This is the gift of God.
Yeah.
Receive the gift of God.
Come on.
That you walk in abundance.
Yeah.
If God can bring money through us, he wants to bring money to us. What does God want us to be? He wants us to be good stewards. He wants our heart towards him, but if our heart is towards him, how many of your hearts towards God?
Amen.
Then receive the good gifts. Believe that God can prosper you. Well, I don't know if the education ain't about your education. David wasn't educated. Are you here? It's about who I know. Come on, David was knownless. He was the forgotten son. Out with the sheep. Sheep stink.
Yes, sir.
But God brought him out of obscurity and brought him in. What does it mean to have stewardship? I put this up for you. It's our ability to manage the things God has entrusted us. And that's what God's looking for, our heart. It's required of stewards that we be found faithful in all things. 1 Corinthians 4 verse 2 says, moreover, it's required in stewards that one be found faithful. Jesus talked a lot about money. In Matthew, Mark 12 verse 41, we don't have time to look at it, but he watched the people and how they gave. He watched out of their attitude. Some gave out of their abundance, but it didn't touch him. But there's a woman that gave it all and got the attention of heaven that day. She was a faithful steward. She put her trust in God. The Bible is a book on giving. The Bible talks more about giving than anything else. Let me give you a few examples, some Bible words. How many believe in the word believe? Amen. Let's put it up, guys. The word believe appears 310 times in the Bible. The word pray, it's important to pray, right? 370 times in the Bible. Love, the greatest is love. 735 times, but the word give appears 2,642 times. Why? You can't love without giving. You can't believe without giving. Come on. You can't pray without God moving your heart. God so loved the world that he gave. God is a giver. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. God is a giver. You want to be like God? I want to be like Jesus. You got to be a giver. Are you here?
Yeah.
But if we're holding on to our money, it's our security. We're not able to trust God. We're not able to believe God. We're living from paycheck to paycheck. We have a cap on our time and the value of our time, and we can't get out of it and believe that God wants to do something more for us. We'll always stay at the status quo. Are you here? The mark of spiritual maturity in a believer is that we are powerful in giving. We make it a lifestyle. We're generous. We water others. We lend to the poor. We lend to God. Proverbs, 2 Corinthians 8, verse 7, I'm landing, all right? It says, but just as many of you excel in everything, in faith and speech and knowledge and complete earnestness and in your love for us, see that you also excel in what? The grace of giving. What happens when you, money doesn't have a hold on you, you're a giver. When God says to do something, you do it, even though it puts a strain on your butt. You're not limited by just the natural things. Nothing wrong with having a plan, but sometimes God blows up your plans. David didn't plan to be in a cave. David didn't plan for, but what? God prospered him along the journey because he was obedient. Proverbs 11 verse 25 says, a generous man will prosper. You want to prosper, you got to be generous. But he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. As Christians, we should be living at a level of abundant life. Are you here?
Yeah.
Don't worry, I'm not taking another offering, but maybe you should give one. Come on. Oh, you know, pastor's trying to take an offering. You're preaching this to raise money. No, I'm not. God's going to take care of his bills. I have no problem with the kingdom of God going on. He'll do it. If he has to do it for me and Susan alone, he'll do it.
Yeah.
Come on. We're going to be multimillionaires. I have no doubt about it. Not from the church salary, but from business. And guess what? Our tithe can take care of a lot of things. Just the two of us. But God doesn't want just us to prosper. God wants you to prosper. Can we never beg for money? We never come, we need money, please. You know, some churches, they just keep having offerings until they meet the budget. That's lack mentality. No, God will provide. How much money can I make? There's no limit. Because I position myself in a place, I have no limit. My time is not limited. That's a whole other message. But God doesn't call us to live an average life, a boring, a mediocre life, a barely getting by life. In our marriage that we're just struggling till Jesus comes being faithful because we have a covenant. We don't like each other, but we can't get divorced because we don't want to sin. Come on. God wants us to live an abundant life. He said, I came to you life more abundantly. That word is the word Zoe. Someone say Zoe. I put it up for you. Zoe means what? Superior in quality, super abundant in quantity. Quality and quantity. What's prosperity? Quality and quantity. Come, God wants us to prosper. We need to get rid of this wrong thinking. But what's the purpose in closing? Deuteronomy 7, the Bible says, your Lord, your God, is bringing you into a good land, in a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs that flow out of the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive and honey, a land which you will eat bread without scarcity, which you will lack nothing. A land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. But when you have eaten, listen, and you're full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good of the land he's giving you. What does he say? I want you to have abundance. Eat and enjoy it. But once you've done that, out of that abundance, give back to God. Out of that abundance, let his kingdom come. Let his will be done. Are you here? Deuteronomy 8, verse 8, in the next chapter it says this, and you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth. What's the purpose? That he may establish his covenant, which he swore to his fathers. Malachi says, will a man rob God? In what way have you robbed me? In your tithes and your offerings. But what does he say? Repent. Bring the tithes and the offerings in the storehouse that there'll be room in my house. There'll be food in my house. And he says, trust me, if I'm not open up the windows of heaven and pour out blessing and prosperity on you, that there'll not be room to contain it. But it doesn't stop there. He says, I'll rebuke the devourer for my name's sake. And he ends off and he says this, this is the purpose, that all the nations will call you blessed. For you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Come on, what is God wanting to do? Where people, if we're prospering, people look at us. You want to prosper, you want to be blessed, you want to be blessed in your marriage. Look at me, come to Jesus, because look what he's done for me.
Yeah.
I once was poor, but now I'm rich. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see.
Yeah.
It all goes together. Amen? And Psalms 37, last verse, verse 22 says, for though, someone say, this is me. Those blessed by him shall inherit the earth. But those that are cursed by him shall be cut off. What's God's desire? It's to bless us. But we got to renew our mind and understand. If we don't even think God wants to bless us, how can we be blessed?
Yeah.
If we think blessing is evil, how we ever, that's the biggest lie that the church has believed, that the devil's allowed to come into the church to keep the church from keeping God's people walking in his blessing and his covenant. But what's the purpose? Not just so we have more things. Come on, we can't take the things with us, but we can enjoy the thing. But our focus is the kingdom. It's better to give than to receive, but you can't give if you have nothing to give. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Will you bless this morning? Amen. Come on, let's stand on our feet.